What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another exciting episode of Mama Life. How are you guys doing? All right, so this episode is on trust. Yes, let's talk about trust. Let's talk about trusting people around our kids. I remember growing up in a Haitian household, and if you're Haitian just like me, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know how the Haitian parents be. But growing up in a Haitian household, I remember that my dad didn't trust anybody. And at first I thought it was because he used to watch America's Most Wanted, because my dad was all into those crime shows. So I just thought that they spooked him and he didn't want us to go anywhere. But looking back now, because he didn't even want us to go on sleepovers. Like, I couldn't go to a sleepover at my friend's house. I couldn't. And no one could come over here either. No one could come over my house either. No grown-up could come over my house and stay either. So I used to think that was crazy. I used to think that was insane. But now having my own child, and, you know, looking at the society that we live in now and hearing stories about, you know, kids getting raped by family members, kids getting raped by, you know, other people, like their, you know, like their mom's boyfriend or their dad's brother and stuff. It's crazy. So I say this to say that I see what he meant, and I see that he was right, because now I'm asking myself, who can I really trust around my child? Like, who can you trust as a mom? Who can you trust to watch your child? So I came up with this topic because I was browsing through my phone and I saw this news report on this young girl who went missing, and it turned out that it was her mother's boyfriend that was involved in her disappearance. So the thing is, he was supposed to take her to school and, you know, she never turned up. But the thing was that there were little bits of red flags, because she was, you know, before everything happened, before she died, she told a friend that she wanted to live in the woods. What kid says that? That should have been a red flag right there. And I was wondering, what was going through the mom's mind? Like, did she see signs? Did she not see signs? Did her daughter talk to her? Whew. Sometimes as parents, our kids are kind of afraid to come to us, especially if we're in a relationship, if they see us happy, they don't want to ruin that happiness by telling us something that happened to them. So I think that it's important for us as parents to have an open communication with our kids, to tell them no matter what happens, to come to us and just tell us. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter if, you know, if they know the person, just come and let them know. Because sometimes what people would do when, you know, when they're like sexually abusing you, they try to intimidate you and say, if you tell, something will happen. So it's important to have that open communication. So here we go. We are talking about, who can you really trust with your child? So years ago, like around 2020, I made this podcast episode on called When Is It the Right Time to Have Your Significant Other Meet Your Child? And me and my best friend were like talking about it, and she said that she had her significant other meet her child not long after they started dating. So the thing is, he actually came to live with her. So he was staying. he was staying at the place and he came to live with her. But for me, there was some, you know, I saw some red flags. And I know that, you know, it's hard. It's hard when a person is deep into a relationship. It's hard for them to really notice how that person is. It's hard for them to really notice when they're so deep in a relationship. They don't want to see the red flags. They don't want to see it. But I think from the outside looking in, I saw the red flag because sometimes he got angry. Sometimes he said things. Sometimes he said things to the child, which, you know, wasn't right. So there was some red flags. So I'm saying this to say that be careful who you bring around your children. Be careful who you bring around your children, especially if you guys are, you know, first started dating. Like, give it time. Give it time. I'm not saying that you shouldn't never bring your significant other around your kids, but I want you to look first and feel and have a feel for them. Like, see how their temperament is, because kids are tricky. Like, being around, having three boys, like having toddlers, it's easy to get angry, it's easy to get frustrated, it's easy to get mad. But I'm their mother. The difference is I'm their mother, and I know their ticks. I know what little buttons they like to push to frustrate me. I know what little buttons they like to push to, you know, to get me angry. And I know how to calm that down. I know how to calm that down. Now, from someone coming into it, they might not know how to calm that down. Like, one little thing could just set them off and they can hit the child. Like, they might not know how to calm that down. So the thing to look for, you need to see if they get angry at things really fast, because it's important, because with kids, they will push your buttons. They will push your buttons. They will make you angry. They will make you mad. They will make you frustrated. So you need to know if they do good under pressure, if they won't get mad if the kid pees on the floor. Because there was one story where this guy got so mad that this little child pissed on the floor that, you know, he choked him. Like, why would you do that to a child? I mean, mistakes happen. Like, it's a child. Of course the child's gonna pee on the floor. Of course they're gonna wet their pants. Of course they're gonna have accidents. But you have to take a step back and be like, oh, it's a child. Like, okay. But people with anger problems, like, if you're dating somebody that has anger issues, that gets mad at every single thing, that person is not the right person to be around your kid. That person is not the right person to be around your kid. Like, always be careful, especially with, you know, with people with girls, with parents with girls. I don't have girls. I am a boy mom. But it's a very sensitive topic for most moms with girls that want to get into the dating scene, because you don't want to be single forever. You want to find somebody. But, you know, it's hard to introduce that person to your child, especially if it's a girl, because you don't know what to expect. You don't know how it's going to be. You don't know how the relationship is going to turn out. You don't know what kind of person the person is. My advice to parents is to find out the kind of person you're dating first, to find out their demeanor, to find out, you know, how they act, just to get to know them first. Get to know them. Don't fall in love first and not get to know the person, because the well-being of your child is more, I'm not saying it's more important than your happiness, but keeping your child alive should be your number one priority. Keeping your child alive should be your number one job. Okay? Keeping your child alive is always number one. No matter what. I know you want a date. I know you want to be happy. I know you want to meet somebody. I know you want to form a family. Because the goal, when someone starts dating and they have a kid, it's to form a family so the kid could get used to a two-person household. But how important is that if that person is not right, if that person is wrong? So you need to find the person that you can really, really trust with your child. And the number one rule is to trust your child. Trust your child. Trust your child. Children don't lie about things like that. Children don't lie often. Like, if they tell you something, take it into consideration. Don't be like, oh, you're lying. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Hear it. Because the kid is coming up to you because you're the parent. You're the mom. That's who they're going to. They're going to tell you things. So if they tell you something about a person you're dating, if they say, oh, so-and-so is touching me, don't just dismiss it and be like, whatever. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You will never do this. No, ma'am. This is your child. This is your child. If they say something, you go investigate. You see, you go investigate. Okay, you ask the person, did you do so-and-so? And you watch them from now on. You watch them. You watch them. You say, okay, I'm going to have a talk with them. I'm going to watch them from, you watch them. You don't leave them alone with your child. You don't leave anybody that you're dating with your child. Like, because how well do you know them? How well do you know them? I mean, you're dating them. They're around all the time. But how well do you know them to leave them for a long period of time with that child? Nobody really knows the child but you. Nobody really knows the temperament of the child but you. Because the thing is, someone has to be patient. With children, the number one thing is to be patient. And sometimes, some people don't have that patience factor. Some people don't have that patience factor. People go off. Like, they don't have that patience factor. They're not that patient with kids. Some people are not that patient with kids, even though they act like they may, you know, like being around the child because of you. But when you're gone, you're not there to protect the child. You're not there to watch them together. So you don't know what they're doing. So the thing is, if a child tells you something, trust that child. Don't dismiss it. And I'm not only saying that for, you know, the dating role, for the moms or the dads that want to go to the dating role, want to find somebody. I'm saying that for, you know, for everybody, because even your own, sometimes it's under your nose. Even your own family members or, you know, could possibly be touching your child. Sometimes it's right under your nose and you don't see it because you're so trusting. I don't trust anybody with my child. I remember this one instance where it took me a while to allow my son to go out for a sleepover. And even now, whenever he's asked to go for a sleepover, I'm on pins and needles because I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening because I'm not there. I'm not at that house. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So that's the other reason why I got him a phone. I actually got my son a cell phone when my husband started to have him have sleepovers at his boss's house. At first, I was all against it. We had this big argument about, you know, my son not going over there for a sleepover. Like, I was like, my husband was like, you don't trust anybody. Like, you have to give somebody a chance. But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard because how well do you really know people? Just because somebody works with you, just because they're your boss, don't mean that you know them well enough to have your kids spend the night. Like, there was one incident where, you know, her son had this toy bat and, you know, hit my son with it. Like, I was like, it could have been a real bat. It could have instigated. It could have been a real bat. Like, what if it was a real bat? Like, I know he didn't mean it. I know she was apologetic, but what if it was a real bat? So from then on, I was always hesitant when she asked him over, and I always questioned, like, if my son could go over to your house, how come your son can't come spend the night over my house. Like, I was always surprised at the fact that she always asks, but never allows. Like, I don't know. We never asked her son over. But the thing is, like, my son is always the one that's coming through. So the thing, I really don't trust it. But I'm kind of opening up to it. Like, my son seems like he's having fun. Nothing bad is going on because I know my son. Like, if something bad was going on, he would come to me. Because I always tell them, if something happens, they should always come tell me. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care who's threatening you to not say something. You come and you tell me, and then I'll handle it from there. Because we don't do this hush-hush. We don't do this hush-hush. Don't tell nobody. Let's not spill the secret. I think that is one thing that's wrong with society, is that when something happens inside a house, when something bad happens to your child inside your house, you're always saying, don't tell nobody. Why? Why can't they talk about it? I mean, can you get a therapist so they can talk about it? Can they talk about it to somebody? Because I feel like kids need to open up. Kids need to open up, especially if something is happening to them. They need to open up. They need to tell you about it. They need to talk about it. They need to write about it. They need to open up, because it's just going to bring trauma. And that's how trauma happens, because there's adults that things been happening to them. And, you know, back then, parents were like, hush, don't tell nobody. Let's not say anything. Let's keep this a secret. Don't tell anybody Uncle Bob touched you. Please don't say anything to anybody. They're going to look at us differently. No, y'all talk. Y'all talk. And that's the reason why I don't trust people with my kids. No, I don't. I just started trusting people with my kids, to tell you the truth. I just started trusting people. Like, my husband's cousin have been watching my boys ever since they were toddlers. And to be honest, that's the only person I would trust to watch my babies. That's the only person. Like, he suggested, like, other babysitters. He's even suggested, you know, his boss watching them while we go out. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Because I know her. She has kids of her own. She's so nice around my boys. I know her. My boys love her. Always look at your kids when you bring somebody around them. Look at how they act. That is the secret. Look at how they act. When you bring somebody around them, look at how they act. Look at how they react. Look at their demeanor. If they don't want to be around that person, if they look uncomfortable around that person, why should they be around that person? Why should you bring them around that person? That goes for the person that you're dating too. If you bring that person that you're dating over to meet your kids and they act uncomfortable around them that first time, because kids have that sixth sense that we don't usually have. Like, when we meet somebody, we don't usually have that. But kids are special because they have that little sixth sense that something isn't right with that person. That, you know, I don't like that person because of whatever. Not because that person is with my mom. Because I think that everybody that's dating, that's the first thing they go to. That's the first thing they say. Oh, my kid don't like him because he's with me and not with, you know, because I'm not with his father. No, your kid don't like the person because maybe they got a bad vibe. Kids get bad vibes about people too. Kids get bad vibes. And when they get that bad vibes, please pay attention. Pay attention to your child. Pay attention. It's very important to pay special attention to your child. If they don't like somebody, don't force it. Don't force a relationship. If they don't like somebody, please don't force it. Please don't say, oh, you got to go over there. No, yeah, you got to go sleep over there. Go sleep over your grandma's house. Please go sleep over there. They won't do nothing to you. They don't bite, but you don't know what's been going on. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know why the kid is like fighting to not get out of the car every time you bring them to their house. You don't know what's happening. You don't know why they're like crying hysterically every time you bring them to that door. Not because they have separation anxiety, because kids get over that. Kids get over that. Because I remember when my kids were in daycare, they cried for like 2 or 3 days. 2 or 3 days. And then, you know, the following week, they, bye-bye, okay? They were used to it. Like, kids get over that separation anxiety. If it lasts for more than a month, if you're bringing that kid to the same place for more than a month, and they're still crying and still afraid to get out of that car, something's not right. Like, what's happening? Why are they doing that? That should be the question that's going through your head. You shouldn't be like, oh my God, they're so annoying. I gotta go to work. Ah! No. The question should be, something's not right. What's going on? Why are they still acting like that? It's been a month. Like, something is going on. So, my number one thing for you is to trust your child. Yes, it's good. Like, trust is good. Like, you have to trust people. But can you really trust anybody around your child? Can you? Can you? Maybe you can. But, you know, always look for red flags. Always look for signs. And for some people, I know it's hard to kind of look for the signs, to kind of recognize the signs, especially if you're deep in it, especially if it's like a family member. It's hard to be like, something's not right with them. And even if you had that gut feeling that something's not right, I know you'll be like, I don't want them to think I don't trust them. No, trust your gut. Like, who cares if you don't trust them? Trust your gut. I mean, if it has to do with your child, trust your gut, baby. Trust your gut. Like, who cares what they think that you don't trust them? Okay? And, you know, your child's more important. Like, I feel like your child is more important than any relationship. Your child is more important than any, you know, family. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be you and your child. Like, you work hard to have that child. Baby, carry that child for 9 months. It's hard to have children, and some people can't even have children. So when I say that it's hard for me to trust anybody with my child, I mean that, because it's hard to have children. Like, it was hard to have these three boys, and I ain't gonna lose them for nobody, baby. I ain't gonna lose them for nobody. So my advice to y'all can trust if y'all want, but always look for the red flags. Trust your kids. Trust your guts. Red flags, trust your kids. Trust your guts, because kids know. All right? And with that, I am out. What's up, everybody? This is your host, Rosie, the Haitian Mama, and you're listening to Season 3 of Mama Life, a show about the ups and downs of motherhood. If you're a new listener, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. For my returning listeners, thank you for sticking with me on this journey. Now, let's get on with the show.
Time, you ready for this? Oh my gosh, you guys, my four-year-old is so obsessed with throwing the F-bomb around. It's not even funny. Like, are your kids doing that? Oh my god, I don't know if it's in school he heard it, but lately he has been throwing the F-bomb around, and it's been crazy. The other day they were playing video game and he said "lil effer," and I was like, what? Like, seriously, why? Time for got an inspirational quote of the day, and the inspirational quote for today is, the gut never lies, and its voice is always present, but sometimes we always ignore it. Think about it. Always listen to your guts.
Thank you so much for listening to Season 3 of Mama Life. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to support this podcast, please share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. And wherever you're listening, please remember to rate, subscribe, and leave a review. And to catch all the latest from me, please follow me on Instagram at MamaLifePlus3 and catch me on YouTube at Mama Life Plus 3, Life of Moms. And as always, take care of each other, and most importantly, take care of them kids.